everybody. This is Ryan.
And this is Alan.
And this is...
The No Nonsense Podcast.
Boom. Darn right it is. Today's affirmation. Wait, what? Did we just laugh the same way? Are we morphing together? Are we becoming one person?
All right, laugh differently. All right, we're good now.
Now we're good. We just calibration, right?
Correct.
Okay. So
today's or decalibration, because we calibrated prior.
Okay.
So.
Okay. today's affirmation is going to be very basic, but just as powerful. It is, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, right?
Right.
So here's the thing. I know I went back to cartoons, but, you know, Dory's on to something. Maybe Dory's woke, right?
Well, we know that.
I'm just saying. So I say that because today's topic is mental health. Now, when I said that, think to yourself, how did you feel when I said that? Did you just roll your eyes? Did you just take a deep breath? Did you just kind of pause and go,
What did you envision, right?
Are you ready to change to the next episode? Don't you dare, okay? Because this is so important. It affects everyone. No one is immune to mental illness, whether it affects you personally. If it doesn't, it's going to affect someone that you know.
And mental illness doesn't have to be a long-term thing.
Thank you. So, honey, listen, fist bump on that.
All right.
Because I'm going to say this. When people think mental illness, you think of, you know...
the insane asylums. And,
yeah, you think of insane asylums. Yeah, that stigma. You think... You know, maybe the crazy person that that you run into in the neighborhood.
Whatever. We all have our schemas.
Right. It's not that necessarily. So here's the thing. According to the World Health Organization, they say that mental disorders affect 1 in 4 people. Perhaps. I would argue to say more. If not, everyone.
Because remember, they go by who reports.
Yes. So that counts just the people who have been diagnosed. Now, think what that means. That means that someone has to actively, you know, look at themselves and say, something's up. I need help. Or maybe they were diagnosed by force. Meaning, you know, maybe they had an outburst or whatever, and the result was having to go to an institution to be helped.
Right.
However, when you think of mental illness, what sort of things do you think of? I almost want to guarantee it's going to be an actual disorder. You're going to be thinking about, bipolar disorder.
Mm.
You're going to be thinking about... social anxiety, general anxiety, any type of phobia, someone who is suicidal. You're going to be thinking of, and think about it, a lot of people don't know this, but an eating disorder is actually...
I was about to ask that, because I'm not trained in psychology. That's not my field, so...
Well, yeah. I'm here to help.
Thank you.
An eating
Thank
disorder,
you, my guru.
You're welcome. And when I need legal advice, I will ask you.
Yes.
Which happens to be every day. Just out of curiosity. Not that I need it, but, you know, I'll like read a book or see something on the news. Huh. Can a person do this? What did that person get away with? Yes.
But then she hates my answers because they're and if maybes.
And that's all law.
This has to happen.
And no, thank you.
And I'm not an attorney. Legally, I am not an attorney. But I take a passion in that and I make sure. Yes, I have a legal studies degree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's something I have a passion, just like you have a passion for psychology.
True that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. A lot of people don't think that eating disorders are mental illnesses, but they are. They fall within that umbrella of mental illness. Because if you think about it, think of a person who has, let's see, anorexia.
Okay.
Anorexia is when a person honestly believes that they are larger than they are.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you might be looking at a person who you think is like, okay, maybe they're like 125 pounds and they are 5'8". I would say 5'8", 125 pounds is fairly thin, right? That person might not like the way they look. They might feel like, if I could just, they're fixated at the number on the scale. They look in the mirror and they point out the tiniest, what they constitute as imperfections.
Yeah.
And they hone in on that and they will not rest until they reach this idea of what perfect to them is.
Is that the same thing for those people that are addicted to plastic surgery?
Nope.
No?
Not at all. See, okay. That's another thing. So even
that's my misperception. I don't know.
See, that's the thing. And that's another disorder, right? Another person who has, you know, a distortion of perception. And that's one thing that I'm studying now because that's so interesting to me.
So it perception. Is a disorder, though.
It is a disorder. Okay. A person who constantly has to, they constantly have to reach a physical attribute. But here's the thing. Once they get that surgery, that's not going to be the end of it.
I just don't understand.
It's deep-rooted. Yeah. They're going to keep going to that doctor. Yeah. They're going to keep picking. They're going to keep, you know, trying just, to
our bodies are always aging. They're never going to be the same year over year.
No. Yeah. It's not. You know? Right. And no one is immune to any of this. So the thing is we all think of these disorders, right? But here's the thing. Have you ever gotten, as you're listening to this, have you ever gotten to a point after a breakup where you're just beyond sad and maybe depressed a little bit? Or have you ever been, let's say, anxious? Let's say you have a public speaking gig to do, right? Or you have to present in class. You ever get super anxious? You ever get just
that's
like,
a good one.
Yeah. You know, you can't think of anything else. It's, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, it's almost to the point where you just don't feel like yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's a mental illness. The difference is that, yes, the majority of us have these moments, but they don't last a long time, right? The majority of us have these maybe depressive stages or these moments of anxiety. And that in and of itself is a mental illness. Again, the difference is that it just doesn't last as long as someone who might have to seek treatment on a regular basis to manage theirs. If you think about it, mental illness, especially in terms of like depression, is the mental, I will compare it to a mental cold. When you physically get a cold,
I like that terminology. I could see exactly what it is.
When you get a cold, you're basically in a state of malaise. You don't feel yourself. You don't have your energy. Maybe you have a chest congestion, right? But maybe, you know, your sister, your brother, your sibling has a cold, but then instead of them having chest congestion, they have a headache.
They're all fogged up.
Right. Maybe they have a fever. But see, both of you guys have a cold, but you're experiencing it in different ways. Depression is essentially the same thing. You're not yourself.
Hey, you're good at this.
You know, thank you.
You should go to school for it.
I'll think about it. it is, so when you get it's kind of like you get a headache, right? You get this mental cold. You're not yourself. A lot of people like to, you know, liken depression to being extremely sad, but that's not it. Depression is just, it's actually a lot less dramatic than being sad. Okay. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because it was brought to our attention that Pete Davidson was going through some things.
Oh, okay.
And if you guys, you know, Google it, I'm not going to go into detail about it because it's a very sensitive nature and it does this topic no justice to, you know, talk about someone's personal struggle. And I just won't do that. But he did come out and publicly say some things that were alarming. Like when I saw it, I was like, oh, crap.
Right.
Please no. And then right after that, he deletes his Instagram profile. Pete Davidson is an awesome person. If you don't know who he is an actor. Mm-hmm. He is one of the cast members on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Hilarious. I vibe with that dude's personality, right?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, after he said that, my heartstrings was like, oh no, the human in me, and I'm, you know, I hate feelings.
And your feels again.
I hate these feels, but you know, I felt that and I was like, oh crap. And so he was actually responding to Kanye West, who said some things, and I'm so happy that he has taken accountability and decided to seek help. I wish more people would do that.
Yeah.
Because I know even in my culture, in Black culture, mental illness is just not something you talk about.
Is it like a negative stigma?
Yeah. Because, you know, in Black America, the most popular religion is Christianity. And so in that, if someone is going through something, the immediate response is, you know, God will provide.
Oh, pray on it.
Pray on it. You know, talk to Jesus, go to Jesus. And I'm not saying don't, because yes, I feel that being spiritually connected is essential for me, at least. You know, we need to connect on some other level than just a superficial level, right? We need to, I feel like, and we even learned this in philosophy, that humans are created, once we're created, we have this innate desire to know about something that's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that being said, I'm not saying don't pray. Yes, please go to church, pray. That's what we're supposed to do, if that's your thing.
Yeah. And whatever religion you're into.
Right. But also, my culture, please do not knock seeing a therapist. Because here's the thing. If you break your foot and somebody tells you, God will provide, mm-hmm. you're going to look at them sideways and say, excuse me, no, my toe is off of my foot.
Well, here's the thing.
I need help.
Black Americans suffer enough. Why do y'all have to, you know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you. You said it.
Right.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
There it is. That is the key right there, right? And so not only do, it's like minorities, especially in America, Lord, I can go for hours on this. We all know our history, right? It's for centuries. We have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to fight for equality. We continue to fight to be given which the is same sickening, opportunities.
You know.
Yeah.
Not just for Black Americans.
Black Americans, Mexican Americans, mm-hmm. Native Americans. My God, this was their country, right? So there's always this constant battle. So like when you are going through something, even if it's just something as little as maybe you were, maybe you didn't get the grade that you wanted, right? Maybe you didn't get in order to get the scholarship that you just had to have.
Or you worked all hard, you know, all season long. You were like the star basketball player, and then, you know, they give the award you should have gotten to someone who didn't play at all.
Right. You know, that sucks, right? And so what happens is a lot of people will look at themselves, look within and say, well, what's wrong with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or some people would just harbor that. But guess what? All of that sets the tone for a consistent feeling of negativity. And that can only brew nothing but good. It can only make matters worse.
Right.
It does nothing to your progression, does nothing to your growth. It essentially sets you back.
Mm.
And that's not what we need to be doing, right? So that in and of itself, you should see somebody, even if it's not a licensed professional. You need to go to your support system, find that responsible, that mature person, say, hey, let me just kind of, you know, throw this off of you, right?
Yeah. I feel so much better when I come and I could talk to you, or, you know, I have a great relationship with your parents. You know, I you know, throw things off them too.
Yeah.
You know, so you need those people in your life.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, if you're going through this, make sure to seek someone. Seek some help, right? And so I thought that it would be a great opportunity, given that it is the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And in your line of work,
yes,
being in the medical examiner's office, Alan,
yeah,
this is not a good time for your employees to be working. Right?
It's hard. We see a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see a lot. And you and I are fortunate enough to be able to kind of mitigate that and it not impact us.
Right.
But you got to think about those people. I mean, that means those people who came in just... for whatever reason, around the holidays, suicide rate goes up. And yeah. Oh, no, it's not for whatever reason. I think we all have an idea why. Even though the majority of us are happy, so excited around the yeah. holidays, there's other components to that. And there are a lot of people who aren't as fortunate.
Oh, yeah.
As middle class America or even upper class America, right?
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even account for those individuals that, you know, people say, oh, well, they died because they were drunk. Mm. Well, they did that because they were depressed and they didn't know it.
What led them to that? Right. It makes me wonder, like, what led them to that?
Yeah, I'm not saying that. Even alcoholism is a condition.
It is. Mm-hmm. That is even a mental disorder because it's an addiction. And addiction is a mental disorder. And so... Yeah. That's why this affects more people than we like to say.
Yeah, I personally feel that cigarettes should be on that list.
No, it is, you know? Because that's an addiction.
Yeah. I think if you're addicted to cigarettes, you should fall under mental... I don't want to say mental disorder in a bad way at all.
Don't say mental disorder.
Okay,
be a mental illness. So a mental disorder is something that goes beyond... what we just experienced, right?
Oh.
It goes beyond having, you know, a depressing week because someone broke up with you.
Good
it goes
save. Beyond that. I was sounding ignorant.
No.
No, I was. I'm sorry.
So a disorder is typically something that someone is, how can I say this? Is really struggling with and needs help with, right?
Mm, yeah.
So when you think of bipolar, you think of bipolar disorder, right?
Right.
Something that controls that person's life more than they would like it to, right? And so that doesn't make that person any... And I don't know why we keep... Why do we keep putting these people down who are going through these issues? I understand, like, and also we do live in a society where, people are hypersensitive. But then we still live in a society where some people are just becoming, I want to say, calloused to certain things due to overexposure.
Right.
So that means, like, I won't go into too much of it, but like...
It's true. Too much of one thing, you know, is not necessarily good for you.
Exactly.
Like, I love scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, if I watch too many of them, I don't feel happy. You know?
No, because you'd be like, what is wrong with people? Right.
I've had instances where, you know, I'll go on a marathon and then not feel right. You know what I mean? And so that's, like, just sad. Not anything bad. And then you have to turn around and, you know, I'll watch comedy. I watch other things.
Yeah, you gotta neutralize it, right? I mean, that's... Because essentially that's consumption. Whatever it's... So consumption is not just what you eat. It's also what you see, what you surround yourself by, who you surround yourself by, what you talk about. That's what you're feeding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're constantly feeding yourself with, like, gossip and you're, like, around these people who just, like, aren't really caring about you... then eventually it's going to get to you. If you keep, you know, watching these sappy romance movies, eventually you're going to think that that's how someone is supposed to treat. Oh my gosh, if they don't throw their jacket on this puddle, then he doesn't love you.
Like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Got you.
So it's whatever you feed yourself. It's kind of like just stop for a second and think. What am I feeding myself?
You know, what's great is I'm learning right now, and I've known you for like almost 20 years.
This sounds like an infomercial.
No, I'm serious. It's nice because, you know, I don't know much about this. So I'm, you know, I do my best to put my input in, but it is really nice to get it broken down the way you're doing it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to, like, and here's the thing. I don't know everything. I'm still learning, right? But I am qualified to be able to help someone through this. I am qualified to teach it. But I feel like no one is an entire expert in anything, which is why we should always be constantly striving to be an expert in ourselves. But that being said, with the holiday season coming up, I just wanted to go over some things that the American Psychological Association and the National Institutes of Health have shared with the public in an effort to help, because I feel like this really should not be taboo. Because I feel the moment someone talks about it, someone assumes, oh, that person's going through something. Or the moment someone talks about it, like, kind of like what, you know, Pete Davidson did, they immediately think, oh my gosh, he's about to off himself. Now, granted, he did say some things, right? Or even the tens of thousands of people that bullied him and said, oh, you just want attention. That's the worst thing you can say to someone in that situation. I've seen it. Studying psychology, I've seen people go through this, and it just breaks my heart to see the lack of support that they have, or even just the lack of empathy that they receive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, you chop your hand off and you say, hey, I need help. And someone goes, oh, you just want attention. How would you feel? Right. So
our brains kind of run everything.
That's just how it works. So according to these two organizations, I just kind of made a list of items, a list of signs to look for when you are around people. So this applies to whether you're going through something, or maybe you know someone and they show these signs. Please jump in and help, right? And you might be going through this and not even know. I just hope that you catch it before it's too late, right? Before you actually start feeling the effects of it. So, number one, social withdrawal. Now, a lot of us do like our personal time. Lord knows I love my quiet time, right? But social withdrawal in terms of what's outside of your norm. If you are an outgoing person, or if you know someone who's always just, you know, in front of people, and then all of a sudden you don't hear from them for like a couple days.
Like a dramatic change, you mean?
A dramatic, okay. Yes, thank you.
Right.
A dramatic difference. That's a red flag. Noticeable change in normal daily routines. Meaning, normally they take joy in what?
Getting up in the morning early, and now they don't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or normally they'd love watching horror movies, and all of a sudden, when you have your weekly, you know, horror movie night with so-and-so, and they say, never mind. And this is a horror movie buff?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna, like, okay. Obviously, if they say goodbye, please don't be one of those ignorant people and say, oh, you just want attention. Take note of it.
I mean, like a plea for help.
A cry for help.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be on. Okay, I get you.
Yeah. Getting their affairs in order.
Mm.
So it's weird to say, and it's weird to even, I guess, because it's out of the norm, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes up to you and they finally gave you those things that you've been asking for them to give back to you, and then you find out that they gave someone else their belongings back, or maybe they're deciding to settle a debt, maybe they're deciding to, you know, give their prized possessions to someone.
Finally make that apology or something, mm-hmm. out of nowhere, out of the blue.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're very solemn, you know. Be aware of that. Engaging in risky behavior. Right? So that means maybe they're drinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are deciding to do things that are not expected. They're being very spontaneous, and not just in the sense like they're just getting out of their comfort zone, but doing one spontaneous thing after another. That is something to be aware of. Extreme mood swings. So like if they are in a big stage in their life, this one is very subtle. If they are up for a promotion at work, or if they are trying to adopt a child and they get denied.
Hmm.
Right? That's very subtle, because you know, the normal the typical person would say, oh, man, that really sucks. I really wanted you to have this, right? We don't know how much that meant to that person.
They probably spent their whole life building to that point, and
gotcha. That's one thing to just be cognizant of. Feelings of worthlessness or guilt. Here's another one. Like, this one can also be misconstrued with anxiety. It's not, but it kind of goes hand in hand. Ruminating on past events. If you or someone you talk to are constantly thinking about things in the past, oh man, I should have said this. I should have done that. I hate that this happened to me. Why didn't I do this differently? And it might honestly be an embarrassing moment, but if they're hanging on to that moment and ruminating over it,
that's how do you know when it's, because I have those moments, right?
We all do.
You know, where you're doing some in an interview, or you're in high school and you mess up. And then how do you know? My thing is, how do you know the length of time it is okay to hold on to that? Or I don't, you know, that one's tricky for me, because
it is pretty tricky. Because here's the thing, we all do that. Are you human? Right?
Yeah.
You are going to say, dang, I should have done this, right? But the difference is the length of time and that you spend on it, and then also how it affects your daily life. So if you're just continuing life, right, you're going about your day as normal, and all of a sudden, boom, you start thinking about something that happened 5 years ago, and maybe it was embarrassing, maybe you did do something wrong, but you start thinking about it, and then throughout the day it's nagging at you, and now you can't control, like, you can't focus on work, you can't get into your
back in the flow of things.
It's like, you finish my sentences,
there you go.
That's when it becomes a problem. Loss of interest in things that you normally do. So if you love to do, it's kind of like what we said earlier, you know, you love to watch this, you love to do that, and all of a sudden you don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. It's time to stop and
go. If you're an avid, like, you work out every day, then all of a sudden you just stop. You just cannot
bring yourself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to stop and have some self-reflection, you know,
mm-hmm.
and get to the root of it. You know, why is it that I don't feel like doing this? This normally brings me joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, sleep disturbance, whether you're sleeping too much or not at all. Maybe you're just all of a sudden a light sleeper. And of course, this doesn't apply to people who have insomnia. But, you know, to people who normally can get, you know, 6-7 hours a night.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're sleeping 10 hours, or all of a sudden you're waking up in the middle of the night and you don't know why.
Right.
It's your brain telling you, hey, something's not right. You better deal with this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some of the signs of depression, of even some of it applies to anxiety. These are common, I don't want to say disorder, mm-hmm. common illnesses that people need to be aware of.
But
right?
Is it just because you have one of them doesn't mean that you're depressed, right?
Right. So if you have one, just like we talked about, you know, rumination of past events, right? Yeah. It's one thing to say, man, I was a freaking idiot when I said that, right? Why didn't I do that differently? It's one thing to do that. But if you're doing that And then also, you lose interest in your favorite hobbies if you do that, and then you also are not getting enough sleep.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's one of those things and it's excessive, then you should maybe look into that. And honestly, I want to argue that we should all be doing self-reflection on a regular basis anyways, right?
Yeah.
Whether you need to or not, whether you feel like you need to or not, you really should. I mean, because we grow every single day. We come in contact with different people every single day. And different people impact you in a certain way. Events, shows, foods. I mean, they all affect our brains in so many different ways. But there are some very practical ways to manage it. And I say manage. I emphasize manage. Because no one is perfect. And you should never expect to never feel a bad feeling ever again. We should manage it, meaning that we can get back to our normal routine. What makes you you? So the first thing that I would say do is, what would you like? Maybe do something cathartic, right?
Okay.
Something that, you know, I can't really do this. I can't really do it. Think of something that you used to do, that mm-hmm. you used to enjoy, and try revisiting it.
Hmm.
Like, were you once a great writer? Did you maybe enjoy writing poems? Are you a good artist and you've been too busy at work to even get back to that interest? Just try to do that. Try to get back into that. And
do you like singing, you know?
You know what?
And you stopped singing and now you want to try it again. Don't have to be good. Just do it.
You know what? I am an amazing shower singer. I think we all are.
I've been booed out of my shower by my own self.
No. Well, hey, if you enjoy it, I say do it, man.
There you go. Well, I would love to, but I won't let me.
Hey, get out of your way.
That's a different episode.
There you go. Here's another one. Taking baby steps.
Hmm.
So if, let's say, you are just completely depressed and you've been in the bed, just take joy in just taking that small baby step, right? If you know someone who's depressed and you don't know how to help them, just be there.
Don't be available.
Yeah. Don't try to be excessive. Don't try to...
Can that make things go the other way? Can that push that person who's going through something further away?
It could, depending on the illness.
Okay.
Yeah. Just be there. Because honestly, I want to say the majority of people that you come in contact with, and maybe even argue that all of them, who have experienced some sort of, mental malaise, they just wanted someone to understand them. I want to say that people that have committed suicide, if we could look into their recent events, if someone had just been there and not push them, not say, oh, what you should do. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another thing. This is one thing I hate when people do this to people. Just think positive thoughts. Just, think happy thoughts. What? I feel like if they could, they would do that.
Right.
Don't do that. Right?
Well, I as someone who's learning more and more about mental health as I, get older, I probably have said that myself growing up, so it's hard. I think that's our coping mechanism when you don't know what to do.
Yeah, because I think innately we want to help people, but we don't necessarily know how.
Right.
So it's very important to just be present. Sometimes silence is a good thing. Your presence can speak louder than your actual words. If you're just there, make them feel like they're not alone in this. If it just takes sitting next to them for a couple of hours. What if it's a mom who has postpartum depression?
Oh, yeah.
And she's just not herself. She's tired, right? Babies need, right? And so she doesn't have a moment to even think about herself. If you have a friend who maybe just gave birth, and even though she's not, you know, sharing or showing signs of postpartum depression, just stop by and offer to help. Change a diaper. Sit down. Give her something that makes her feel like an individual again. Huh. Instead of being...
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of making her feel like she's now a mom. Think about it this way. She's now a title that she wasn't before in her entire life. She now has a new role. None of us even know how to do these things. Like, did you know how to parent when you became a dad?
I still don't know how to parent. She's 9.
I still don't know how to parent, right? It's like, okay. And then obviously, no, I'm not even going to go into that. I was about to talk about Trump. He's the president. He obviously don't know how to do that. But, you know, just sit down and realize, hey, this is a big step, right? Mm-hmm. Be there. Give her something that makes her feel like herself again. Give that person something that brings back their identity, that makes them them. But don't push it on them. Just be there. Surround yourself with positivity. A lot of time when people go through things, it's very internal. They begin to harbor these very poisonous, insidious emotions. You don't know that it's consuming you until it's too late, right?
Right.
But once you start feeling like you're not yourself again, try to be around people as much as possible. So it goes both ways. If you know someone who's going through this, be there with them. If you are personally going through this, be around people. Whether you know them or not, you are less likely to harm yourself if you are around a lot of people. So even if you go to the grocery store, even if you walk to the park and you kind of just sit there and listen, you know, to your music on your headphones, be around people, be around that energy. And another part of that is exposing yourself to the sun. When people say, oh, we'll just go for a hike and just, you know, get outside. I know you don't want to do this because right now you probably don't want to deal with people, right? But the thing about it is there is literally help in being exposed to the sun. The sun gives us vitamin D, which gives us energy. You are the same thing as a plant. You're a living thing. You expose yourself to the sun, your body will get that energy and then in turn tell your brain, oh, we're starting to feel a little bit better.
Okay. So, you don't even need to like go to a public park. You could just go back.
Baby steps, right? Yeah. Like I said earlier. Baby steps. Get out on your porch. Yeah. Get out on your balcony. Whatever. Expose yourself. Remove yourself from that spot that you've kind of sunken into. Mm-hmm. Even if it's going to the, you know, kitchen or something and making a sandwich. And then instead of going back to your spot to eat that sandwich, eat it in a different part of your house. Mm-hmm. Eat it on the patio, whatever. Just remove yourself from that, right? And then maybe look at your work life. And I say work life because a lot of us average people spend the most of our days, most of our hours working. That's where we are. Our social lives come second. And so look at that. You know, is this environment really helping me be a better person? Is this job really helping me? Do I need to move to a different environment? You know, do I need to look at a job elsewhere? Are these people, are there any growth opportunities here? Right. Mm-hmm. Looking at that and reviewing and just kind of look at it. Right.
I personally think we need to stop being afraid of people with mental illness because they're more likely to hurt themselves than they are you.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And so it's time to stop being afraid. Let's tackle this issue.
Oh, but see, that's the thing, honey. They don't see it as being afraid.
You mean the people that are scrutinizing? And,
yep. Mm-hmm. They see it as survival of the fittest, right? And so, yeah, I believe in survival of the fittest, but not when it comes to that. Yeah. The thing about it is that just because you handle things differently than another person does not make you stronger. Mm-hmm. You have a weakness that that person doesn't have. And so I think that's part of the reason. That's a major reason why people don't want to talk about mental illness.
Because they don't want to be made fun of.
Not just that. No one wants to be seen as weak.
Oh, yeah.
And so for whatever reason, it's seen as weak. Like,
everyone gets colds, though. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the thing.
People don't see it that way. I could go about this for hours. People don't see it that way. But I feel like it's our social responsibility in this society, as a country now more than ever, to educate ourselves on this and take some accountability, because it's not just on that person who's going through it. It's on us too, because it affects so many different aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
The more we decide not to talk about it, the more people we lose, the more we decide to, you know, look at this as something as taboo, the more we stifle the progression in mitigating this.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know I went on my soapbox, but I hope I didn't make you guys kind of down on this. No. I tried to make it as...
Well, this is something that needed to be talked about. Mm-hmm. It's something that is... It's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard, but it needs to be. And we can't... I mean, we just can't ignore it anymore.
That's true.
We're losing too many good people.
That's so true. Yeah. Oy. Anywho, you guys.
I mean, personally, I feel like if you tackled the mental health epidemic, you would see less people overdosing on drugs.
That's...
I think that you would also be hitting the, you know, that epidemic as well and decreasing it.
That's true. You could be solving so many epidemics at once just by paying attention and believing our brains. Believe your own mind. Mm-hmm. When you are not feeling well, when someone says they're not feeling, and yes, there are some people that do make it, you know, give a bad name to people who have mental illness. There are some people that, yeah, they do have mental, or they do want to have that attention, right? But just think about it. There are more people suffering from it than there are people trying to look for attention. Mm-hmm. It's the same as when someone comes forward and they say, remember when we were going through that whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, right? And these women came forward and all of a sudden the aggressor was was the victim.
Right.
Because these women who came forward, they said, oh, you know, how do we know that they're telling the truth? You know, because, yeah, in the past, there have been maybe one or two people who have done that for attention and lied about it, right? But if you think about it and try to research it, they weren't that many.
If you really put data to it, it's minute.
Yeah, it's very, very minuscule. Yeah, so you have more people suffering from it than people who are actually just trying to come forward.
Especially with everything they have to lose by coming forward in that public forum.
Yeah, like Dr. Blasé Ford. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, she was so freaking brave for that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Did she ever go back to her university?
I don't know, but I did read an article that she was getting death threats and probably still is.
That doesn't make any sense.
It needs to stop.
It needs to stop. People need to stop being so freaking
jackass. Like, you know, being that, you know, we're just, come on, man.
Just grow up, right? Yeah. Oy. Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm going to end on this note. If you guys can just be a little bit more aware, I know I'm going to promise to be more aware of the people in my life. I'm going to be, making sure that I pay attention more, because like I said, like this season for Ella and I is just like wonderful, right? And we get so wrapped up in it that we're human. We forget about those who might not see this holiday the same way we do.
Yeah, true.
And so, but in the same instance, the statistics don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys can just, you know, promise to do the same thing we are doing and just be more aware of your surroundings.
Absolutely.
If someone is showing some signs, be there, be open, if you can't do it, please direct them to someone who can get them help, but do it immediately.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And if you're listening to this and you feel like you're going through these, please get help.
Yeah. I mean, heck, even if you have to email us, I am qualified
please.
To help.
Yes.
Do that. I would rather help and get you to the person that you need to get to than for someone to lose their life because they couldn't get through it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And on that note, oh, also, if you or someone, I feel like I have to do this, if you or someone that you know is experiencing suicidal thoughts or feel like you just can't get through this and you need some help, please call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I remember working with them with a nonprofit organization not too long ago, and they are some amazing people over there. They have
their hearts are gold.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I remember sending some kids over there and it was just, oy, they were a lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
Their number is 1-800-273-8255. So that's 1-800-273-8255.
Nice.
Please do that, especially with these teenagers these days. Oh my gosh, the age is getting so...
It's going down. Now, there was that story about the nine-year-old.
That poor baby. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm going to stop because my big heart. I'm going to stop. So you guys, please do that. And thank you so much for listening. As always, we love you. And
until next time, goodbye.
There you go. Bye.